Nataraj Publishing and New World Library present Shakti Gawain reading her book Developing Intuition.
Hi, this is Shakti Gawain, and this is Developing Intuition, Practical Guidance for Daily Life. Why develop your intuition? Why commit your time and energy to the process of developing your intuition? Quite simply because it's probably one of the most valuable things you will ever do for yourself. It actually takes relatively little time, and the potential rewards are enormous. Intuition is an important resource that can greatly contribute to our success and fulfillment in life. It's a natural part of us, our birthright, and yet many of us have lost touch with it. Once we know how to follow it, intuition is a very accurate guiding force in all aspects of life. Without it, we are at a great disadvantage. It's a practical tool that we need in order to successfully deal with life. Because our cultural values emphasize the development of the rational and scarcely acknowledge the existence or validity of intuition, many of us have lost touch with our intuitive sense. Fortunately, with a few simple exercises and a little practice, it is not difficult to reclaim. As you learn to follow your intuition, and it's validated by the results you get, you build self-trust and self-confidence. In our modern, complicated lives where we often have so many choices and options, intuition can point us in the direction we need to go at any given moment. It can show us step by step what we need to do to fulfill our heart's desires and achieve our goals. Our intuitive sense can help to keep us safe. It warns us when something may be harmful or dangerous. Intuition always shows us the best route to where we need to go. Following it can save us a lot of confusion, hassle, and heartache. As a friend of mine put it, when I ignore my intuition, I end up doing things that just don't work very well, or even things that aren't good for me. The more I follow my inner wisdom, the better I am able to care for myself, and the more things just fall into place. Because intuition connects us to the soul level of our existence, many people who develop their intuition find that it brings them into a deep relationship with their spiritual nature and brings that spiritual connection into their daily lives. The most successful people are often very intuitive. Consciously or unconsciously, they follow their gut feelings. Intuition is closely connected to creativity. When we're out of touch with our intuitive sense, we often find our creativity blocked. Following our intuition puts us in the flow, a very alive, productive, and desirable state. If you are interested in getting more in touch with your intuition, keep listening. Introduction. I was born into a family that was well-educated and intellectual. My father was a professor of aeronautical engineering, and my mother was a city planner. Both of my parents were highly rational people who greatly valued intellectual development. I was a precocious child and an avid reader, and I did well in school. I was praised and rewarded both at home and at school for my scholastic abilities and achievements. I developed into an extremely logical person. I was quite skeptical and prided myself on not believing anything that couldn't be scientifically proven. I considered myself an atheist and believed that God was an idea that people made up and clung to because they couldn't live with the fact that we don't really understand the meaning of our own existence. In my college and early adult years, I began to have some experiences that didn't quite fit into my worldview. It was the 1960s, after all, and our entire culture was opening to a more holistic approach to life. I became interested in Eastern philosophies and began to practice yoga and meditation. I studied modern dance in college and found that sometimes when I was dancing, I had an experience of feeling as if I was being danced by some force greater than myself. I attended some therapy groups where we shared deep feelings and, as a result, experienced transcendent feelings of closeness and oneness. All of these things began to open me to the non-linear, non-rational aspect of my nature. My mother was also exploring some of the same kinds of things. One day she called me excitedly and told me about a seminar she had just taken in which she had learned some techniques for intuitive development. She was quite amazed at the experiences she had had. If it had been anyone other than my mother, who I respected as a rational, intelligent person, my skeptical side would likely have brushed this off as a lot of nonsense. Instead, I was intrigued. Deep down inside of me, something that had long been buried began to stir. It was the feeling that there is a certain kind of magic in life and that not everything can be explained in logical terms. So I took the course that my mother recommended. I learned some meditation techniques, including the technique of visualization, where you imagine something that you want as if it were already true. I soon found this to be a very powerful tool that I subsequently used in my life on a regular basis. I also learned how to access an inner guide and a number of other useful skills. All of this was presented in a very clear, logical, almost scientific way that was appealing to my rational side. At the end of the course, they had us do an exercise in which we would relax into a meditative state, and a facilitator would read from a card the name, age, and city of residence of a person none of us knew who had some type of ailment. The name of the ailment was also written on the card, but the facilitator didn't read that to us. Then we would create a mental image of that person and notice what area of their body our attention was drawn to, and what feeling, thought, or image we might get about that person's ailment. Many people had remarkable experiences of guessing one or more cases accurately. My own experience was beyond remarkable. It was completely astounding. When my facilitator read the first person's name and information, I immediately had an image of the person in my mind. I started feeling my attention drawn to a certain area of her body, and I began to get a feeling of what her health problem might be. I said it aloud, and it was correct. Since I guessed my first case correctly, they gave me another and another, and I guessed them accurately as well. I read 10 cases in all and was correct with all of them. This was a shocking experience for me. There was simply no logical way to explain what had happened. I had received the information in a different way than I was accustomed to getting information. It had not come through the usual routes of my five senses. I felt as if my mind had dropped into a kind of groove or channel, and the information was just there. That experience opened me up to the fact that we have another way of accessing information and knowledge through our intuitive faculty. After that, I was fascinated to learn more about how I could connect with that part of myself. I suspected that it could be a very powerful and practical help to me in my life if I could learn how to use it that way. I began to practice some of the simple techniques I had learned in the course and found them very helpful. Not long after that, I went on an extended 2-year journey. It began with a vacation in Italy and developed into a year of traveling and working in Europe, followed by going overland to India, spending several months traveling around India, and eventually going all the way around the world. This entire journey was a marvelous experience of learning to follow my intuition. Although I wasn't completely aware of it at the time, in retrospect, I was certainly being prompted by some inner guidance every step along the way. I had no definite plans and usually didn't know where I was going to eat or sleep that night. I just took one day at a time and allowed things to unfold, which they did in a rather remarkable way. I had almost no possessions and very little money, yet somehow I was always taken care of. I encountered many difficult and challenging situations, yet everything worked out. It was a great experience in learning to trust myself and follow the flow of life. When I returned home, I was very interested in pursuing my personal development and learning more about how I could balance and integrate rationality and intuition in my life. In the years following, I was blessed with a number of teachers who helped me learn to trust my intuition and use it as a guiding force in my life. the practice of listening to and following my inner guidance became a very important part of my life and still is. I've discovered that using your intuition on a daily basis is one of the most important keys to self-development. On this tape, I hope to pass on to you what I have learned in simple, practical ways that will enhance the quality of your life and help you fulfill your dreams. Chapter 1. What is intuition? There is a universal intelligent life force that exists within everyone and everything. It resides within each one of us as a deep wisdom, an inner knowing. We can access this wonderful source of knowledge and wisdom through our intuition, an inner sense that tells us what feels right and true for us at any given moment. Many people who are not accustomed to being consciously in touch with their intuition imagine that it is a mysterious force that would come to them through some transcendent mystical experience. In fact, our intuition is a very practical, down-to-earth tool that is always available to help us deal with the decisions, problems, and challenges of our daily lives. One way that we often describe an intuitive prompting is as a gut feeling or a hunch. Intuition is a natural thing. We are all born with it. Young children are very intuitive, although in our culture they are often trained out of it early in life. We are accustomed to thinking that some people are intuitive and some aren't. Women are generally considered to be more intuitive than men, for example. Yet many men follow their hunches on a regular basis. In reality, we are all potentially intuitive. Some of us consciously develop this ability, while a majority of us learn to disregard and deny it. Still, many people are unconsciously following their intuition without realizing it. Fortunately, with some practice, most of us can reclaim and develop our natural intuitive abilities. We can learn to be in touch with our intuition, to follow it, and to allow it to become a powerful guide in our lives. In many cultures, including those of most of the indigenous peoples of the world, intuition is acknowledged, respected, and honored as a natural and important aspect of life. Every moment of daily life is guided by a strong sense of connection to the universal creative force. These societies create powerful rituals, such as group councils, dream sharing, chants, dances, and vision quests, that support their connection to the inner intuitive realms. Individuals within those cultures learn to trust and follow their own inner sense of truth and offer it as their wisdom to others. They have a profound sense of the interconnectedness of all life. Our modern Western culture, on the other hand, does not acknowledge the validity or even the existence of intuition. We respect, honor, and develop the rational aspect of our nature, and at least until recently have disregarded and discounted the intuitive side. Our school system reflects and reinforces this bias. It focuses almost exclusively on developing our left brain, rational abilities, and mostly ignores the development of the right brain, intuitive, holistic, creative capacities. We often see the same bias in the business world. Only in recent years have some schools and businesses begun to truly value intuition and to encourage the kind of creativity and progressive thinking that results from intuitive awareness. The rational mind is like a computer. It processes the input it receives and calculates logical conclusions based on this information. The rational mind is finite. It can only compute the data that it has received directly from the external world. In other words, our rational minds can only operate on the basis of the direct experience each of us has had in this lifetime, the knowledge we have gained through our five senses. The intuitive mind, on the other hand, seems to have access to an infinite supply of information, including information that we have not gathered directly through personal experience. It appears to be able to tap into a deep storehouse of knowledge and wisdom, the universal mind. It is also able to sort out this information and supply us with exactly what we need when we need it. Although the message may come through a bit at a time, if we learn to follow this flow of information step by step, the necessary course of action will be revealed. As we learn to rely on this guidance, life takes on a flowing, effortless quality. Our life, feelings, and actions interweave harmoniously with those of others around us. In suggesting that our intuition needs to be the guiding force in our lives, I'm not attempting to disregard or eliminate the intellect. Our rational faculty is a very powerful tool that can help us organize, understand, and learn from our experiences. So, of course, it is important to educate our minds and develop our intellectual capacities. However, if we attempt to direct our life primarily from our intellect, we are likely to miss out on a great deal. In my experience, it works best to balance and integrate logic with intuition. Many of us have programmed our intellect to doubt our intuition. When an intuitive feeling arises, our rational minds immediately say, "I don't think that will work," or "What a foolish idea," and the intuition is disregarded. We must train our intellect to respect, listen to, and express the intuitive voice. Most of us have spent a lifetime developing our rational minds. Fortunately, it doesn't take a long time or a lot of work to develop our intuitive abilities. In fact, I've facilitated thousands of people in this process, and I've found that with a little explanation and practice, the vast majority of them are able to get in touch with their intuition and begin following it on a regular basis. From there, the whole process of balancing logic with intuition happens easily and naturally. People often use the term instinct interchangeably with intuition. In reality, instinct and intuition are different, but related. Animals live by their instinct, a genetically programmed part of them that naturally directs them towards survival and reproduction. Human beings are animals, and we also have instinctual energies that prompt us toward self-preservation and the preservation of our species. In addition to instinct, we humans have intuition, a faculty which gives us a much broader spectrum of information, related not only to our survival, but our growth, development, self-expression, and higher purpose. Instinctual behavior is usually similar in all members of a given species, whereas intuition seems to be fine-tuned to our individual needs in any given moment. As human beings have become more civilized, we have tended to repress and disown our instinctual energies, such as aggression and sexuality. To some extent, that may be necessary to have an orderly, law-abiding society. If our instincts become overly repressed, however, we lose a lot of our life energy and our natural capacity to take care of ourselves. When we disown our instinctual energies, we often lose touch with our intuition as well. So we need to develop a healthy balance of intellect, instinct, and intuition. When people begin learning about intuition, one question that often comes up is, what is the difference, if any, between intuition and psychic ability? The word psychic can be frightening for many people. They may associate the term with weird, far-out phenomena. Some may have had a confusing or disturbing psychic experience themselves or know someone who has. They may have read about or encountered psychics who are strange, flamboyant, inaccurate, or untrustworthy. Some people have simply seen too many Hollywood movies in which psychic abilities are presented in a dark and frightening way. The terms intuitive and psychic are often used more or less synonymously. If intuition is equated with psychic ability, some may fear that developing their intuition will lead them somewhere they don't want to go. Others feel the opposite. They are fascinated with the idea of being psychic and for various reasons want to develop that ability. I would like to clarify my understanding and use of the two terms. As I have said, intuition is a natural ability that we are all born with. If our family and our culture support our intuitive gift, it will develop into a natural and practical asset. If not, it may go undeveloped unless and until we choose to consciously focus on developing it. Some people, however, have an especially strongly developed intuitive sense. They may be born with it or they may develop it early in life. These are the people we think of as natural psychics. Others may consciously choose to develop their intuitive abilities to the point where they become psychic. People who are psychic may receive a great deal of intuitive information about themselves and others. Like any other talent, this can be a mixed blessing. Their challenge is to learn to manage this ability in such a way that it works in their lives. So we are really talking about a spectrum of experience, from undeveloped intuition to developed intuition to psychic ability. On one end of the spectrum, we have not developed our intuitive gifts. As we move to the center of the spectrum, we are learning to follow the daily, moment-to-moment intuitive feelings that nudge us in the direction we need to go. They are not usually very dramatic, and they generally give us only the information we need at that moment. If we move farther along the spectrum, we may have more frequent and perhaps more dramatic experiences in which we have a strong feeling, a clear vision, or receive a lot of information. There is an infinite range of experiences on this spectrum, and we may fluctuate at different times to different places on the spectrum. For example, sometimes a person with a totally undeveloped intuition has a spontaneous, dramatic psychic experience. I'm focused primarily on helping you explore and find your balance in the middle ground of the spectrum. It's about accessing and learning to trust your natural intuitive ability so that it can take its rightful place as a positive guiding force in your life. Wherever you currently are on the spectrum, this tape can help you get comfortable with your intuition in a simple, practical way that really works in your life. Throughout this tape, I will guide you through exercises and meditations to help you develop your intuition. If you wish, you may keep a journal or notebook to write about your experiences and insights. Here is an exercise to help you recall an intuitive feeling. Get in a comfortable position, close your eyes, and take a few slow, deep breaths. See if you can remember a time when you had a strong hunch, a gut feeling, or a feeling of knowingness about something. How did it come to you? How did it feel? Did you follow the feeling? What happened as a result of following it or not following it? If you want to, write a little bit in your journal or a notebook about this experience. If you didn't remember ever having a hunch, gut feeling, or feeling of knowingness, that's perfectly okay and normal. Many people are not in touch with their intuition in this way yet. Keep listening. Chapter 2, Becoming Aware. All of us have intuitive feelings all the time. Many of us, however, automatically ignore, discount, or contradict those feelings. Usually, this is an unconscious process. We aren't even aware that we've had an intuitive prompting and discarded it. We brush it aside so quickly, we don't even realize that it's happened and that some deeper part of us may be trying to get our attention. For example, when presented with an opportunity, you might get an instant deep feeling and think for a moment, "Wow, I'd love to do this," or "This really feels right for me." Immediately after that, you may think, "Well, I can't do that. That's silly." Or, "What would my family think?" Or, "Gee, I really don't know anything about that. I might fail or make a real fool out of myself." Then you may push the whole idea aside without considering it further. A friend of mine told me that her husband had brought home a man he was thinking about hiring as a partner at his firm. She found him to be perfectly pleasant, but felt for some reason he would not be a good partner for the firm. She couldn't really put her finger on why, so she dismissed how she felt, didn't say anything to her husband, and the person was hired. Within a few days, her husband told her they were having difficulties with their new partner and that the firm would have to let him go and start the whole recruiting process all over again. Although my friend dismissed her intuitive feelings at the time, her intuition was validated several days later. I've seen this happen countless times in my own life and in the lives of those around me. You've probably seen it happen too. Developing your intuitive ability begins with paying attention to what's going on inside of you so that you can become aware of these inner dialogues and catch them when they are happening or shortly afterward. As you become more aware of your inner process, you will begin to notice the intuitive feelings as they pop up, and you will then be able to deal with them more consciously. Most people find that with a little practice and time, they become much more aware of their intuitive feelings. The next challenge is to learn how to interpret them and act on them in a practical way. The information and exercises on this tape will help you to develop all of these skills. Remember that feeling and following your intuition is a completely natural process. You were born with this ability, and you had it as a young child. To whatever degree you've forgotten or lost touch with this skill, with a little practice you can reclaim it. Here are a few examples of different ways that people experience intuitive feelings. A friend of mine once shared with me that whenever her phone rings, she knows 9 times out of 10 who's calling before she answers. When she first noticed this happening, she thought it was a little strange. Now she gets a kick out of it and even makes it a game with herself. Have you ever felt like you knew who was calling before answering the phone? Or how many times have you been thinking about someone and the phone rings and it's the person you were thinking of? I've often had the experience of thinking of a certain song that I haven't heard in months or years and then hearing it on the radio a short time later. My editor says she often senses that there is something important in the mail several days before she receives the package. Have you ever felt something important was coming, but were unable to put your finger on what that something was? Many people tune into their intuition while participating in sports, while at work, or at school. Have you ever felt that you knew the teacher was going to call on you and she did? Or you knew that you were going to hit a home run or sink a putt? And did? Most successful people follow their gut feelings when making business and investment decisions. Research scientists often follow a hunch about which line of experimentation will be most fruitful. Einstein was a wonderful example of a scientist who was clearly in touch with his intuition. The famous story of Edison dreaming of the light bulb is a beautiful example of how intuition interweaves with science, and how intuitive guidance can come through our dreams. The vast majority of our intuitive feelings, however, are so ordinary and mundane that we might not even think of them as intuition. Suppose, for example, you're at a pleasant social gathering and you realize that, for no particular reason, you're feeling like you need to leave. Another voice inside of you may jump in immediately and say, "That's silly, you can't leave, what will people think?" So you may stay in a situation where you really don't want to be. If you do trust your intuitive feeling and act on it, you may find that you just needed some alone time. Or something unexpected and special might happen on the way home. Or you might get home just in time to get an important phone call. When we follow our intuition, we often don't know exactly what we are doing or why, but there are usually some surprising and interesting results. Here is an awareness exercise. If you sense that you may have intuitive feelings that you are in the habit of ignoring or disregarding, Try this exercise every evening for a week or so. Sit or lie down in a comfortable position where you won't be disturbed. A warm bath can be a nice place to do this, but any quiet place is fine. Take a few slow, deep breaths and allow your body and mind to relax. Now think back to when you first woke up this morning. How were you feeling? What were you thinking about? What did you do after you woke up? Now slowly review your day, remembering anything of significance that happened and how you felt about it. Try not to get caught up in it right now. Just review it as if you were watching a movie of your day. As you are doing this, try to notice specifically if there was any time during the day when you might have had an intuitive feeling about something, an impulse to do something different than usual, a hunch of some kind, a feeling of rightness or wrongness about something, a feeling of knowing something without knowing why, a feeling of a lot of energy, enthusiasm, or juice for a possible action, or conversely, a feeling of deadness or lack of energy in relation to a possible action. If you become aware of a time during the day when you may have had a feeling like this, try to remember how you handled it. Did you pay attention to that feeling and explore it? Or did you quickly discount it and push it aside? How did you feel afterward? In general, when we follow a true intuitive feeling, things tend to work out well, although sometimes in very unexpected and surprising ways. We feel energized and enlivened, and there's a sense of being in the flow of life. When we don't follow our intuition, we often feel somewhat depleted, depressed, or numb, and there may be a sense of being blocked, having to push to make things happen, or being out of the flow. At this point, it may be difficult to distinguish your intuitive feelings from many other kinds of inner voices and feelings. We will work with learning to distinguish intuition from other feelings later. For now, just do your best to notice whether you might have had an intuitive feeling, and if so, how you handled it. If you're not sure whether you ever have intuitive feelings, don't worry. Just keep listening and working with the exercises, and very likely more clarity will come. Once you have finished reviewing your day, noticing how you handled any possible intuitive feelings you may have had, it's time to let it all go and just relax. Remember, this is an experience in awareness. The purpose is to help you become more conscious of your relationship to your intuition so that you can learn to develop that relationship. So please do not judge or criticize yourself in any way if you notice that you are not in the habit of paying attention to your intuitive feelings. In fact, this would be an excellent time to appreciate yourself for your desire and willingness to learn and grow. If you are keeping a journal, you may wish to write a little about what you learn or experience each evening when you do this exercise. You may find that this practice of reviewing your day and learning from it is so helpful that you wish to continue it as a regular awareness practice. Chapter 3. Trusting Yourself. One of the reasons that many of us do not learn to trust and follow our intuition is that we are taught from an early age to try to accommodate those around us, to follow certain rules of behavior, to suppress our spontaneous impulses, and to do what is expected of us. we also learn to look to outside authorities for answers and direction rather than looking or listening within ourselves. Those outside authorities can take many different forms. As children, our authorities may be our parents, grandparents, or older siblings, our religion, which may invoke God as the ultimate authority figure, our schools and teachers, our peer group, and our community values and mores. Later on as adults, we may also look to our spouses, employers, doctors, lawyers, and other experts of various kinds. Of course, as children, it is necessary and appropriate for us to receive guidance and direction from our parents, teachers, and others who have the responsibility to help us grow and develop. Even as adults, we often need information and opinions from others who know more than we do about something. The problem is that we learn to look to the outside authority instead of paying attention to our own feelings and intuitive promptings. We come to believe that life's answers lie somewhere outside of us, and we develop a lifelong habit of looking to others. We think that somebody else knows better than we do about what's true for us. We learn not to trust ourselves and our own sense of truth, our own inner authority. A woman in one of my workshops owned and managed a successful public relations business. She told me she had always been awed by businesswomen she met who had MBAs because she did not have a formal business education. At one point, she hired a woman with an MBA as a consultant. This woman advised her to make some changes that intuitively did not feel right to her. She trusted the consultant's expertise more than her own sense of things, however, and followed the advice with some unfortunate consequences. She told me she had really learned her lesson from this and subsequently always trusted her own gut feelings in making decisions about her business. I know a woman whose daughter had always been a straight-A student. Suddenly, her grades started to plummet. The woman tried to talk with her about what was happening, but she wouldn't say much. The woman shared her concerns with many of her close friends and family. All of them told her not to worry. It was a phase and it would pass. She eventually took her daughter to see a therapist, and the therapist also told her that her daughter was exhibiting typical teenage behavior and not to be too concerned. The woman's intuition kept telling her something very serious and dangerous was happening to her daughter, and because of this feeling, she kept looking for clues to what was happening. Eventually, she found evidence that her daughter was regularly using drugs. When confronted about it, her daughter broke down and confided in her that she couldn't get a hold of herself and needed help. She removed her daughter from the influences she was involved in and got her into a therapeutic rehab school. A year and a half later, her daughter is doing much better and is far along the road to recovery. She is working through her depression and has been drug-free for 2 years. For the first time in her daughter's life, she likes who she is. The mother and daughter have become very close. They both feel they have survived, and the daughter is grateful that her mother didn't give up. This story shows us that even though family, friends, and outside professionals continued to tell the woman nothing was wrong, she knew her daughter was in danger and wouldn't dismiss her intuition. Unfortunately, the pattern of giving too much power to outside authorities leads some of us who are seeking personal development or spiritual growth to become overly dependent upon a teacher or guru to give us answers and show us our path. Equally unfortunately, there are many teachers in the personal growth movement who consciously or unconsciously encourage this type of dependency because they enjoy being in the position of power, and it can be quite lucrative, or because they sincerely believe that they are helping people this way. This type of relationship with a teacher can sometimes be positive at a certain stage in a person's learning process. Sooner or later, however, we must recognize that deep down, the only one who knows what's true and right for us is our own innate wisdom. We must learn to trust our own inner teacher, which comes to us through our intuitive guidance. Once we learn the habit of listening to our intuition and trusting our inner responses, we can develop a very different kind of relationship with teachers, doctors, or any other kind of expert. If we need support or knowledge, we can follow our gut feelings about who to go to for help or advice. We can listen with respect and an open mind to what that person has to say, trusting that if we were drawn to them, there's likely to be value there for us. Then we can ponder what they have told us, paying attention to our intuitive feelings about what is right for us and what isn't, and making our own decisions about what course of action to follow. In other words, we are open to learning and receiving guidance from others as needed, while not giving our power and authority away to anyone else. For example, a friend of mine was having a painful back problem. The doctor he consulted advised him that surgery would be necessary. He scheduled the surgery, but began to realize that he was feeling very uncertain about whether this was the right step. He had an intuitive feeling to consult another doctor for a second opinion. This doctor suggested that he postpone the surgery for a while and work with an osteopath and a massage therapist. As it turned out, in a few months' time, his back was healed without surgery. I'm not implying that one should disregard a doctor's advice or that surgery isn't the most appropriate treatment in many situations. This is simply a good example of someone paying attention to his intuitive hunch and seeking other alternatives before making an important decision. It's not only the habit of looking to outside authority figures that can cause us to doubt or discount our own intuitive feelings. Oftentimes, the ways we relate with our families and friends make it difficult to hear or trust our own intuitive voice. Many of us have the pattern of being overly concerned with pleasing or caretaking our loved ones, or trying to live up to their expectations of us. We may have difficulty even acknowledging our intuitive feelings, if we fear that following them could upset or disappoint someone we care about. A client of mine was having difficulty admitting to himself that he needed some alone time. He felt guilty about not spending all of his free time with his wife and children. Eventually, he acknowledged his feelings, first to himself and then to his family. As it turned out, it was not so difficult to work out a solution where he took one evening a week entirely for himself. Obviously, in all relationships, compromise and negotiations have to be made. It's surprising, though, how often things work themselves out when everyone concerned can express their needs and feelings, including their intuitive feelings. A close friend of mine recently told me that shortly before her first marriage, she and her fiancé had a long, honest talk and realized that the marriage felt like a mistake for both of them. They simply could not bring themselves to disappoint and upset their families and friends, however, so they went ahead with the wedding and remained married for several unhappy years. It would have taken an enormous act of courage to support their truth and call off the wedding, but it could have saved years of pain and struggle. In reality, they probably had intuitive feelings that the marriage was wrong long before they talked about it, when it would have been easier to take appropriate action. Can you remember a time when you had an intuitive feeling about something but disregarded it and went along with someone else's feeling or opinion? How did you feel afterward? How did things work out? Write a bit about this experience if you wish. Chapter 4. Accessing intuition. Many of us are aware of spontaneously having intuitive flashes from time to time. As you listen to this tape, you may become aware that you have intuitive feelings more often than you realized, and that you have discounted many of them without knowing it. The truth is, our intuitive wisdom is always there inside of us, and it is always trying to come through to guide us. Most of us simply don't know how to access it at will on a regular basis. Fortunately, we can learn to do exactly that. Here is a basic meditation for getting in touch with your intuitive guidance. I have used this meditation myself for about 20 years and have taught thousands of people to access their intuition through this practice. Don't try this now if you are driving or are occupied with other activities. Find a quiet, peaceful place where you will be undisturbed for a few minutes. Sit or lie down in a comfortable position with your spine straight and well supported. Close your eyes. Take a deep breath, and as you exhale slowly, relax your body. Take another deep breath, and as you exhale, relax your body a little more. Take another deep breath, and as you exhale, relax your body as deeply and completely as you can. If any place in your body feels tight or tense, gently breathe into that area and allow it to release and relax. Now take another deep breath, and as you exhale, relax your mind. Let your thoughts just drift away. As each new thought comes up in your mind, let it go. There's no need to hold on to any thought. Just keep letting them go and bringing your attention back to breathing slowly and deeply and relaxing. Take another deep breath, and as you exhale, imagine that you can move your awareness out of your mind, out of your head, and drop it slowly down into your body. Let it rest in the area of your solar plexus or your belly. Now take another deep breath, and as you exhale, let your awareness move into a very deep, quiet place within. With every breath as you exhale, move a little deeper and a little deeper until you come to rest in the deepest, quietest place you can find. Then just let yourself rest in this quiet place inside. In this quiet place inside, you naturally have access to your intuitive inner guidance. You could think of it as a wise part of you that lives in this deep place within you. It knows exactly what you need at every moment. Ask yourself in this deep place, what do I most need to remember or be aware of right now? After you ask this question, just rest quietly and be open to what might come. Notice if a thought, a feeling, or an image comes to you in response to this question. Just take whatever comes and be with it for a little while. It's not necessary to understand it. Just be with it in a receptive way. You may feel like you are making something up. If so, that's okay. Just allow whatever is happening to happen. You may feel that nothing is happening or that you get nothing. That's okay too. Don't try to make something happen. Trying gets in the way of the process. If nothing is coming right now, just accept that. If you have received some thought, feeling, or image, allow yourself to sit with it a little bit. When you feel complete with the process for now, begin to notice your breath again. Notice how your body is feeling and become aware of your surroundings. When you are ready, you can open your eyes. If you wish, you can write down whatever you experienced or whatever message you received. Otherwise, just contemplate your experience a bit before you go about any other activities. This is an excellent exercise to do in the morning before you start your day, or at night before you go to sleep. If possible, do it at least once a day for a while. Twice a day is even better. If you can't manage that, try for once or twice a week. Once you get used to it, you can easily do this exercise in 5 to 10 minutes. In this meditation, I used a very general question. What do I most need to remember or be aware of right now? I have found that this question works well for many people to open up to whatever their intuition may wish to communicate. You can use any question that works for you, however, including more specific ones such as, what direction do I need to go right now? Or, show me my next step? Or, how do I need to take care of myself? Or even, should I take the job I've been offered? After you have done this meditation, pause occasionally throughout the day and notice what's going on inside of you. Over the next few days, try to be aware of any thoughts, feelings, and experiences related to the question you have asked. Practice following any intuitive impulses you have and notice how things work out. People have different kinds of experiences with this exercise. Many people find that a thought, feeling, or image comes to them during the meditation that is clearly relevant and immediately helpful. The more you practice this exercise, the more likely it is that you will receive clear, simple messages that you can easily interpret and understand. As I mentioned, some people get a response but feel like they are making it up rather than experiencing it as coming to them. My feeling is that it's best to trust whatever is happening as long as it basically feels right to you. Worrying about whether you are doing it right blocks the process. Trusting your own experience opens up the process. So if you feel like you are making something up, just go ahead and do it. Chances are that whatever you make up will be relevant. I recently did this exercise with a group, and here are a few examples of messages that came to the participants. One woman received the message, "Have more fun." She saw an image of riding on a carousel followed by an image of swimming in the warm ocean in Mexico at night. These are both fun, physically enjoyable, sensuous experiences not involving the mind. This woman is a very mental person. She felt that her intuition was showing her that she needs to enjoy her physical body more. One woman saw a sign in big letters saying, "Health." She was dealing with some health issues and interpreted this as a reminder to focus her attention on her health. A man had an image of sitting on a warm beach by the ocean. The feeling was, "Everything is okay." Another woman heard the words, "Trust, not fear." She interpreted this as a message not to worry, to relax, and trust her own process. A woman had an image of a large brown bear with quiet strength, so powerful that he doesn't need to be aggressive. This is a frequent image for this woman, representing her personal power that she's learning to own. This time the bear was excited and happy, almost dancing, because the woman has had a recent breakthrough where she was able to stay with her own power in a difficult situation. One woman, who is usually very visual, just had a peaceful feeling inside. Some people receive a message that is unclear or difficult to understand or interpret. Don't worry about trying to understand it logically. Like our dreams, the images or feelings that come to us are often working on a level below the conscious mind. Don't obsess about the meaning of it. Let it go and assume that it's working on a deeper level. Sometimes the meaning will come clear later in some spontaneous way. For example, a participant in one of my workshops got an image of a bright, red-hot burning fire one day during this meditation. She had no idea what it meant. A couple of days later, she woke with the realization that she was carrying a lot of anger that she needed to express and work with. Her intuition was letting her know the next step in her healing process. Of course, the same image might have a totally different meaning for someone else. Even if you never get a conscious understanding of an intuitive message, don't be concerned. If it's important, it will come to you again one way or another. If you feel that you didn't get any type of feeling, thought, or image in response to your question during the meditation, that's not a cause for concern either. Here are two possible reasons. One, if you are new to all this, or this is the first time you've tried this exercise, it may take a little time and practice before you feel relaxed and open enough to trust your experience. Two, even for the most experienced and highly intuitively developed people, the message we need to hear often does not come at the moment that we ask. There is often a delayed response. We ask inside for some type of intuitive guidance, and we get nothing in the moment. However, a few hours or a few days later, we may get a spontaneous awareness, thought, or feeling that is really the answer to the question we had asked. Another very interesting thing is that our intuition may respond to our request internally in all the ways I have been describing, but we are just as likely to receive a response from what seems like an external source. For example, you may ask for an intuitive message in your meditation one morning but not receive any information. That evening, as you walk home from work, you may have the impulse to go into a bookstore. When you walk into the bookstore, you may find that you are drawn to a certain table of books. You pick up one of the books, open it randomly, and read a paragraph. Suddenly, you realize that you are reading exactly what you need to hear at this moment in your life. In fact, this is the answer to the question you had asked that morning, although very often in these situations we forget that we had asked for exactly this piece of information. Here's another example of how this can happen. You have a sudden impulse to call a friend you haven't heard from in a long time. In the course of the conversation, your friend says something that has an impact and helps you see a step that you need to take in your life. At some point, you realize that you've been asking your inner guidance for clarity of direction and you've just received it. Of course, in these examples, it looks like the wisdom came from outside of you. But where did the impulse come from to walk into that bookstore and pick up that book? What made you call that friend? Something from within you prompted you to take those actions. Intuition is always trying to lead us in the direction we need to go, and it will use any method it can to help us. If you work with this meditation a while and don't feel that you are getting any stronger sense of connection with your intuition, here are some further suggestions that may help you. You may be trying too hard to make something happen instead of simply allowing it to happen. You may be making the process into a bigger deal than it really is. Relax and let go. Stop trying to make anything amazing happen. Just listen a little more deeply than usual for your own sense of truth. Try not to get caught up in needing to have an immediate answer. Life is an ongoing, unfolding process, and you may not be ready yet for a decision or a definite direction. You may be in process. Inner guidance seldom gives us long-term information. It usually just lets us know what we need in the moment. Sometimes inner guidance may be saying, just wait, don't do anything, allow yourself to be in confusion. When clarity is meant to come, it will. If you feel really blocked for a long period of time, you probably need to do some emotional healing work. When we are holding our emotions inside us, it can be difficult or even impossible to contact our intuitive feelings. If you feel you may be having difficulties of this kind, find a good therapist or support group and begin the process of learning to experience and express your emotions. Once you've done a certain amount of deep emotional healing, you will automatically be more in touch with your intuition. We'll talk more about that later.